You may be seated. We ask the children at this time to depart for junior church and the leaders that are working with them. Also, we just want to officially recognize any missionary here this morning, anybody who is serving Christ in full-time missionary service. If you could just stand up, please, this morning, if you're here in the auditorium, just stand up so that we could just thank the Lord for your service. Any missionary here, Larry and Cindy. For those of you who have not been here on Friday night and Saturday morning, you have really missed God's grace and God's work in our missions conference. We hold these conferences every 2 years. Our theme this year is declaring the glory of God among the nations. It's been a blessing and a challenge to me personally as a pastor, and I trust it's been a blessing and a challenge to those of you who've been here. Our speaker has been Gary Stairs, used to be the former executive director of Word of Life Fellowship in Canada. He's got a diverse background in terms of ministry, graduated from McMaster University and the University of Western Ontario, served as a teacher and guidance counselor in high school, served as a youth pastor. He's now a missionary with his wife in Word of Life Ministries. He teaches at two different Bible institutes, speaks at various conferences and retreats. They have two adult children, a son who's in pastoral ministry in Waterloo as an associate pastor, and a daughter who's married to a children's pastor in Chicago, and they have four grandchildren. Friday night, he said something that I have not forgotten. I just want to share that very briefly with you. He said this: in order to declare the glory of God among the nations, we need a fresh response from the people of God. And yesterday morning you said we need a fresh commitment to the purposes of God. I trust that the Lord will speak through him this morning and challenges us again. Come, Gary.
Thank you, Pastor Jock. And on behalf of my wife and I know that Sunday morning is usually when most of the church family is able to gather in one place. And so I want to this morning, even though we have another session this evening and we're looking forward to that and would enjoy being with you all again tonight, I realize that this morning is probably when most of the church family is going to be together. And on behalf of my wife and I know that I speak for other missionaries that have been a part of this weekend, we want to thank you. We want to thank you as a church for keeping missions conferences alive and well. And it takes effort. And it takes work. And it takes leadership. And as a result, our hearts as missionaries have been richly blessed. We have been encouraged by your love. We have been fed up several times, literally. And I rejoice in being fed up, especially when the food and the hospitality is so wonderful. And when this conference is over, Lord willing, we will leave encouraged and better prepared to serve the Lord. And that is our heart's desire, really, as missionary agencies, as we gather here this morning for you folks, to maybe just get a little glimpse of what's happening in Brazil. That is awesome. That you here in this place could have such a meaningful role in reaching the homeless, the drug addicts, the ordinary person who thinks they've got it all together, but they're just as lost in their sin as the drug addict and the homeless. For you folks to have a part in that, and I sit there and I just vicariously, by way of just looking at the pictures, I get blessed just by seeing it. I got a little tingle going up and down my spine to think that as we sat here this morning, people in Brazil are being ministered to, partly because of your prayers, your support, your going there. Never, ever lose that. missions is diminishing as a program in our churches today. And so I commend you, and as we leave, we will have a better understanding of praying for you. I want to thank Pastor Jacques and his wife and just making us feel so much at home as all the other folks in leadership have. I should mention Kevin and Becky O'Boyle, whom you support, are not here this morning. He's still on the support raising trail, and while in this area, he was asked to speak at Port Perry. But just outside the door there on our Word of Life table is a prayer card. Now, that's only one half of the couple, and it's not the best-looking half. I'm sorry, Ann. I mean, I've traveled with Kevin. I know him, okay? But man, has he ever improved in the last few months. He's got a glow and a shine to him, and I think it's got something to do with the lady that will appear on their next prayer card, soon to arrive at a church near you. But in the meantime, pick up this prayer card, and they've got some items for you to pray about there as well. Now this morning, I want us to think about a fresh commitment to make choices that please God. You see, Psalm 96 is all about a fresh outburst of praise. David, at one point, was rejoicing about the return of the Ark of the Lord. And then because of a circumstance where Uzzah reached out and touched the Ark, and no man was to touch the Ark, God sent judgment on Uzzah, and Uzzah died. That's back in 1 Chronicles, and it's also back in 1 Samuel. The account is detailed in both historical books because it's such a key point. You see, the Ark of the Lord represented the presence and the blessing and the power of God to the people of God. And it had been gone for 20 years from the people of God. And they had wandered and they had stumbled and they had found themselves in difficulties, which just like all people find out without the presence of the one and only true God. Then news came that the Philistines had given up on keeping the ark because God had sent judgment on them and had punished their gods, and God had demonstrated that he was greater than the god Dagon. And so the Philistines sent the ark back. David gets news and he gathers his men and he gathers Israel, and they go down to the place where the ark had come into the country, and their plan was to take it up to Jerusalem and place it in the center of the new city of Jerusalem, the headquarters of Israel, where David was going to build his palace, where he was going to reign from. The presence of God was to be returned to its rightful place. And as he went down, there was a great outburst of praise as they started to lead the ark. And then Uzzah touched the ark and judgment came, and Uzzah died and the praise stopped. And the project of taking the ark back to Israel was set aside. And David left it there, and he was angry and he was displeased. And he was confused, and this was directed to God. And praise came to an abrupt end, and the plan that God had for his presence to be reunited with the people of Israel was stopped. And then 3 months with the ark being in Obed-Edom's home, news came to David once again that Obed-Edom's family was being blessed because the ark was being housed in his home. Let me just say this. When the presence of God is in the center of our homes, we will be blessed. Because we will know the power of God. We will know the blessing of God. We will feel the heart of God. We'll have the strength to move forward with missions and anything else that God brings our way as the people of God. And our families will be blessed and our churches will be blessed. When the news came, David gathered his people together again and they went down and they took the ark, and this time there was a fresh outburst of praise. It was an incredible outburst of praise, and that's where Psalm 96 comes in. That's where declaring the glory of God to the nations comes in. It is a revival. It is a restoration. It is a refocusing. And I don't know about you, maybe you're different than me, but every once in a while, I need my spiritual compass refocused on true north. I need for God to get down in my heart and stir it and move it. I need my life challenged. I need my heart reminded of a lost world, of the people in Brazil and the people in Asia and the people next door in Newcastle who are lost without Christ, headed for a Christless eternity. And that psalm talks about, in the end, even in praise, we need to be reminded that God is a righteous God and man is going to be judged righteously. And that's why we need a fresh glimpse of mission. David's heart was restored, and so this morning I want to continue that theme of having a freshness returned to us and look at a fresh commitment to make choices that please God. Because ultimately, if I am going to enjoy the blessing of God in my life as a believer, I need to walk in a way that pleases Him, not in a way that pleases Gary, but in a way that pleases God. I need my life lined up so that my walk through life is a walk that is committed. Lord, I don't know what to do in this situation. I don't know how to handle this family matter. I don't know what to do about this opportunity of ministry. I'm confused right now. I'm unsettled right now. But Lord, listen, I'll tell you something. Whatever decisions, whatever choices that are required, I want those choices, my heart sincerely before You, in Your presence, in Your presence alone, as the one who has saved me, as one who is holy, as one whom I'm going to stand before as a believer, before the bema seat of Christ, and give an account of the choices and the decisions and the commitments that I made in life. Lord, I want to make choices that please You. Therefore, I need to know what pleases God. And we find that in His Word. Turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, if you would please. It's a missionary account of the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul was one that used some words out of Psalm 96 where he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1, "This we declare unto you, the gospel." He used that word declare. It was the great Apostle Paul that talked about the glory of God in relationship to sin. In Romans, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And that's why we need the declaration of the gospel that Jesus Christ came into this world, lived a sinless life, was sent by God the Father to live a sinless life, to pay for my sin and yours on the cross, and was buried and rose again. That's the gospel in a nutshell. Paul was all about declaring the gospel to the nations, because God had met him on the Damascus Road and driven him into the dust of his own choices and his own plans. And got his attention and said, "I'm going to take you the way you are now, and I'm going to make you into something that you could never imagine becoming." And so this is his second missionary journey that we have record of here in Acts chapter 16. And I want to just read a few verses and make some comments about the decisions that we see in this missionary journey. Friends, can I tell you something? I really believe that God wants every person, man, boy, and child, involved in His great plan of reaching the world. I believe that with all my heart. Now, I don't believe that everybody is called to go. But I believe that everybody is to be involved. We are either called to go or we're called to send. We're called to be involved. This great undertaking, this is the purpose for which God sent His Son. To reach the world, a lost world. It's not some program that a church has come up with. It's a heavenly program. It's an eternal program. It's a program that requires us as people to be committed to in a fresh commitment in this day when missions is being diminished. When we're more inward looking than outward looking. When we're more concerned about our spiritual relationship, and we should be, but less concerned about our neighbor who has no relationship with God. And so we need to look at this as Paul lays out a great example and identifies some of the choices, not all of the choices, but some of the choices that he had to make that pleased God as he declared the glory of God to the nations. Acts chapter 16 and verse 1, then came he to Derbe and Lystra. That's the apostle Paul. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Now go down to verse 6, the journey continues. It's sort of a map of where Paul traveled on his second missionary journey. Verse 6, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, now look at these words, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And after they were come to Mysia, they tried or essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Now that is a very interesting portion of Scripture to talk about missions from. This portion of Scripture says they didn't preach the gospel. They wanted to preach the gospel. As a matter of fact, if you go back into chapter 15, the church at Antioch had commended them, had sent them to preach the gospel. They knew they were called to declare the glory of God among the nations. They knew they were called to share that one message, the only message that changes the hearts and lives and souls of men and women and boys and girls. That's what they were passionate about. That's what they had given their lives to. And as they head out on this second missionary journey, commended and sent by the people of God to do the work of God of declaring the message of God and the gospel of God, they're going through Phrygia and they're going through Bithynia. And the Spirit of God says, don't preach. My dad was a preacher all of his adult life. Just a simple country farmer boy in New Brunswick, saved at 13 years of age, in a little primitive Baptist church at the bottom of a hill out behind nowhere. And he was saved there because someone declared the gospel. And then at 16, he was called to preach. He started to preach, and my dad was a preacher all of his life till his health declined when he became elderly and he couldn't preach anymore, but he was a preacher all of his life. My dad was most fulfilled when he was doing what God had called him to do. I want you to imagine for a moment being passionate about preaching. Know that the gospel changes lives. And all of a sudden God says, I don't want you to preach here. But Lord, these people are lost. Lord, this is what you called me to do. Lord, this is what the people at Antioch, those people back there, I'm going to have to give an account to them, to that missions committee. But Lord, no, I don't want you to preach. And there's a choice to be made. And you see it here. You see it in this portion of Scripture. He made the choice. They made the choice to submit, but not quit. You see, sometimes as you head out to witness in that place where God has you making a living, or you head out on a special missionary effort, man, the opposition, the challenges, it just seems like nothing is happening. Nothing has gone right. And you start to wonder, Lord, how am I to respond to this? I know you've sent me. I know you've called me. I know you've laid this burden on my heart. I know that this is a message that changes lives. And it just doesn't seem to be working, Lord. I'm making a mess of it. They aren't listening to me. They criticize me at school. They put me down. And even in some cases, they bully me and persecute me. And there's a choice to be made. And the choice is to submit to what God has brought into your life, but not quit on the plan to keep sharing and to go on. You see, what often happens to us, our sensitivities as Christians are very close to our skin a lot of times. We get involved in the work of the Lord, maybe in a local church or maybe in a ministry like Word of Life that has camps and Bible institutes and that kind of thing. And something comes up. We've got a plan as to how something should go. And it gets shut down. It gets stopped at a committee or at a board level or somewhere. And we take it personally instead of seeing it as the plan of God. And we resist instead of submitting. You see, friends, God knows better than I do, and God knew better than Paul did, and God had another plan, but the first step of that plan was for Paul to make the choice to submit to the will of God and do what he brought into his life that day, but not give up. He kept moving. You see it right here. He made the choice to submit but not quit. And they passing in verse 8 by Mysia came down to Troas. They kept moving. They kept going forward. They kept themselves available. They kept themselves on track. Even though there had been frustration and opposition and a shutdown brought by Almighty God into their lives, they kept moving. And then you know what happened. Look at verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, there a vision appeared to him in verse 9, the Macedonian vision. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. And because Paul kept a submissive attitude, submissive to what God brought into his life, and didn't let that turn him bitter and fearful and angry like we saw in David's life back in 1 Samuel and 1 Chronicles, where God had stopped the praise with an intervention that took Uzzah's life, and David was displeased with God and angry with God, and he shut down the praise and he went home. The great apostle Paul submitted, but he submitted more than just his words. He submitted his heart. Now, I'm sure he didn't understand what God was doing, but he kept moving. Listen, missions may be difficult today. Budgets may be tight today. People aren't responding to the call of God today like they did years ago. And it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy even wondering, well, Lord, maybe you've got another plan. Maybe you've decided not to use people anymore to reach people with the gospel. Maybe there's some master plan that I don't know about. Maybe I'll just shut down my commitment to missions. Maybe as a church we should focus on something else. He didn't do that. He kept moving. When the Macedonian call came, he was in the right frame of mind. Because you see, he knew that God wanted people saved. He knew that from the commissioning of the first missionary trip, and the church at Antioch had commended him to this trip. He was confident in that God wants to see the people of this world come to Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There is no doubt. And so if it becomes more challenging, if it becomes more expensive for missionaries to serve on the foreign field or whatever, those are all challenges, but we have to keep moving. We have to make a choice that never doubts the plan of God to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, it is the theme. It's clear. It cannot be debated. It is the mandate of the church. And it's a mandate on little Gary's life here to either go himself or to be involved in sending and to be involved in a group of people that love the heart of God and are committed, know how difficult it is to keep reaching this world even as it spirals out of control into more and more chaos and pain. And anger. If ever the grace of God was needed in the world today, it's any time it is needed now. And that requires the people of God to make a commitment to make the same choices that please God. And so they go. Let's go down a few verses here. I'm going to move along because I'm pulling myself backwards here. Let's go down to verse 20. Verse 20. And if you're going to be involved in missions, either individually or corporately, you're going to face obstacles. You're going to face pain. There are going to be things happen that you don't understand. Listen, there are more missionaries being martyred today for the cause of Christ than many other times in history. It's not reported on CNN. They would call them humanitarian workers. We're going to face obstacles. Paul made the choice to submit and not quit and kept moving, and the Macedonian call came, and immediately and assuredly they moved into Macedonia. And Lydia was saved, and then the damsel was saved. But because the damsel was saved, there was opposition, and they dragged Paul and Silas into the marketplace. Publicly humiliated them, look in verse 20, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, they prayed and sang praises unto God. Gary, after a day like that, are you kidding me? Now, friends, you've had some hard days in your life. I've had a couple of challenges myself. But I haven't had a day like that. You know, I have little things come into my life, little setbacks in ministry and things like that, little frustrations, and man, I'm just as quick as anybody to go over into a corner and start having a pity party. Don't feel too much like praising and singing. The outburst of praise that may have been there in the morning is gone by sunset. It's interesting the time that this praise broke out. Midnight. The midnight hour is an interesting time reference in Scripture because you will recall that it was at the midnight hour in Egypt that the death angel passed over Egypt and God's judgment came down on Pharaoh and all of his people and the firstborn were slaughtered that night. It was at midnight. But listen, friends. If you're going to be involved in the work of the Lord, either here or around the world, you're going to have midnight hours. And what choice are you going to make?
Man, what is going on here? Why doesn't this light? What? Oh, man.
Are you going to have submitted your day and have been devotionally prepared in fellowship with the Lord and that morning submitted your life afresh and anew to the Lord to be able to sing praises and pray as the blood is drying on your back? As you know not what tomorrow holds, whether it's life or death, you do not know. And in the midnight hour in this prison, these guys who just a short time before had been shut down from preaching and confused over that, but they kept moving and God opened the door and they immediately and assuredly moved forward through that door and they started to see some people saved, Lydia and the damsel, and then all of a sudden they're in the market square and they're being whipped and they're being accused and they're being mocked and they're being put down and their rights are being violated because Paul and Silas were Roman citizens and this was a Roman magistrate doing to them. They were violating their rights and they end up in prison, and at midnight they sing. And you see in here this very verse an indication as to why that choice was so important. And to why, Gary, listen, as you serve the Lord, you need to smarten up and be prepared before God and be submissive before God, that when life hands you a lemon, you make lemonade and you sing and praise. It's right here. Look at it. And they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. That's why it was important at the midnight hour to be in a place where the choice to rejoice was made instead of the choice to complain, instead of the choice to give up, instead of the choice to second guess. Well, maybe God really doesn't want this message spread anymore. Maybe He doesn't want us in Macedonia. It's not far to go back to Troas. When we get out of here, let's just go home. No, they made a choice. They knew God's plan. And God's plan doesn't depend on circumstances. And God's plan doesn't depend on opposition from dictators or ISIS. God's plan is God's plan for the world. And Paul knew that. If you go back to his conversion, in the hours after his conversion, God made it very clear. I have saved you for this purpose. To be a preacher of the gospel, and you will suffer many things. You know one of the reasons I believe why they were able to make the choice to rejoice? Because they were suffering for something that was eternal. You know, there are times when I bring suffering into my own life because of sinful choices that I make as a child of God. They have consequences for the believer as well. And things don't work out and they come crashing down and it brings suffering and it brings pain into our lives and into our families. That's not the kind of suffering that one is able to rejoice through. That's the kind of suffering that should lead to repentance and a restoration of fellowship with God. That's something that Gary has brought on himself. But when it is the message of the gospel, and I am put down by a colleague, or maybe even a promotion is not made available because they know that I'm one of those Bible guys, you know what? That kind of suffering, it's easier if we know it's for the Lord, in the midnight hours of declaring the gospel, be able to sing praise. And pray. And listen. Others are watching. And you know what? There was another person in that prison going through a midnight hour. You watch what happens here as we finish this. Verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing that the prison doors were open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. There is one other person going through a midnight hour. The keeper of the prison. His world is coming unglued. He is sharing this time and space with the believers, Paul and Silas, who have been deeply placed in the prison and enchained in the deepest part of that prison. He is sharing that time, that space, that setting, that geography with those who have been called to declare the gospel. And his world is falling apart. He's got a midnight hour. Listen, friends, sooner or later, life comes unglued. We're not going to get out of life alive, neither is anybody else. And his life is falling apart. And he is ready to take the solution that the Roman government was said was honorable. Sadly, today, it's a solution that Canadian teenagers are using more and more. Canada has one of the highest youth suicide rates in all the world. Now, we live in a country that the United Nations has said several times over the past 10 years is the best country in the world to raise a family, and we've got an incredibly high suicide rate. The music that our young people listen to and the values that are being thrown at them and the hopelessness and the disillusion, it's all saying, listen, if you can't make it, if you can't handle it, end it. And here's this guy, his world was coming unglued. And he's got a dagger ready to do what Rome said was the honorable thing to do for an employee of the empire, for a man of honor, to take his own life. But you see, friends, listen, if he takes his own life, he goes into a Christless eternity. That doesn't end it. Forever and ever and ever without Christ, lost and hopeless. But in that midnight hour, those who have been violated, those who have been stopped yet kept going, those who made the choice to rejoice and keep declaring the glory of God, they come out of the rubble of that prison. And they see this man whose life is in tatters, who has been shaken to the core of everything that he believed in, everything that he had committed himself to. It was all crumbling before him. And they see him there with the dagger placed at his throat, at his chest, and they say this, they make a choice. And here's the choice we need to make. Here's the choice that we probably have opportunity to make every day of our lives. Here in Canada, they made the choice to intervene. And you see it right here. And seeing that, verse 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice. There's intensity. Mr. Roman guard, would you just, let's sit down and talk this thing through. No, there was an urgency. This man was at the point of eternity without Christ. And Paul sized the whole scene up
and cried with a loud voice, "Hold it! Do thyself no harm! There is hope!"
Choice to intervene. I've wondered if I would have made the same choice. I'm just an ordinary guy. There's nothing special spiritually about me. But think of it. Rights violated. Laws violated. Falsely accused. Beaten, mocked, bullied. And the one stands before you who represents the power and the authority and the legal system and all of that of Rome. He represents that responsibility. And I wonder if just for a moment I might have had the thought, hey, listen, go ahead, it looks good on you. You can't do this to me. I'm a Roman citizen. I've got rights. You've stepped over the line, buddy. You've broken the law. Doesn't appear that Paul thought that at all. He made the choice to intervene. What did he intervene with? He intervened with the message that changes lives. See, our world doesn't need more education. And you know what, friends? I don't need more seminars on missions to know what's expected of me. I need to do and share what I already know. You may be a new believer and don't know much about all the other details of Scripture. You need to get involved in this basics class that is being offered. But you know what? You don't have to wait till you know something to share what God has done in your life. He didn't hesitate. There was a sense of urgency. This man was ready to go to hell. Friends, listen. That's where our world is at. We need to get a fresh glimpse. We need to get a fresh passion. Declare the glory of God to the name. See, friends, missions is wonderful. You have missionaries come and they give reports of what's happening in the world. And, oh, that's great. That's wonderful. Look at what those folks are doing and look at how God is using them. What does it mean to me? I have choices to make every time I hear about what God is doing. You see, many times, friends, we're thinking about going, but we're planning to stay. And we need to be planning to go, but willing to stay. That's where we're at. It's the children of God. I'm just being honest. We need to be involved in the great cause of missions. And that takes choices. That takes commitment. That takes getting involved and finding out and getting around the leadership and finding how you can be involved. There's missions right here in this town that this church is endeavoring to do. Start there and see where God leads you. We, Barb and I, never planned to be missionaries. I want to tell you, I am so glad that God knew better than I knew. It has been incredible. It's been the thrill of our lives. And we aren't super missionaries. We're just ordinary people. We never set out planning that, but as we started to serve the Lord in our local church and be involved in our local church and committed to the local church that was involved in missions and being around missions conferences and being involved with young people, God just sort of one decision at a time, years apart, and then when we were 40 years of age, God made it very clear to me. And I said, Lord, I'm going to make a choice. I give you permission. If you want to change our comfortable lives from where they are now, fully satisfied with all that we are doing and all that we have and all the church work that we're involved in. If you want to change that, I give you permission to do it. And then it was 5 years. God knew me. Man, we've got to work easily with this guy. And 5 years later, God gave us the greatest privilege. Seeking to reach the young people of Canada in a youth culture that desperately needs it with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, he makes no mistakes. I loved what I was doing before. I love more what God has allowed us to be a part of. You willing to make some choices this day? We've seen the plan of God. We've seen the passion that God has for the world. And what we need is people. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we've come to a place of decision. Lord, as I think and look out over this audience, I can see the audience that I sat in one Sunday morning. You brought my heart under conviction, and I didn't know what it all meant. But I made a decision to be willing. And I wonder this morning as we close this meeting, I'm not going to ask for any public demonstration of your heart being willing. But listen, everything we do in life starts with a decision. Maybe God's spoken to your heart this morning. And I would so like to, in closing prayer, thank God for any movement in your hearts that the Spirit of God has brought to pass. And God has spoken to you this morning about missions, and you don't know what it all means, but you know that it means something. Maybe it means just being involved in the mission committee here at this church. Maybe it means being involved in junior church. Maybe it means something more full down the road. But it starts with a choice. God's spoken to your heart. Are you willing to say, I'm available? And I give you permission, Lord, to do with my life whatever you want to do. If that is the case, would you just slip your hand up and take it down? And as I pray, I'm going to thank the Lord. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Many. Many. Yes. Young people. Middle-aged people. Age is not a restriction on serving the Lord. Yes, thank you. Anyone else? Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Yes, thank you over there on my left. Thank you down front. Thank you. Now, Heavenly Father, missions is the work of God through men and women, boys and girls. And Lord, I would pray for the responses that have been made in hearts. Only you know what those responses mean. And you are able to minister, and you are able to take a willing heart and take it one step or 10 steps or take it down the road a little ways or all the way. Lord, you are the one that knows. But Lord, hearts here this morning have expressed a willingness. We want to thank you for never giving up on your people. We want to thank you for any work that is being done in our hearts this morning. Now we pray, dear God, that your work of missions will continue, and may it start with us and continue through us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.